the good, the bad, the ugly.
Welcome to Sustain Nutrition's podcast, Chewing the Fat, where Joe and James will be discussing all things good, bad and ugly regarding training and nutrition. So pull up your pants, put your best foot forward and get ready for some serious oral pleasure. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Joe and James.
Sustain.
Nutrition.
Chewing.
The.
Fat. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Podcast? Is that the word I say?
Oh, yeah. Well, now we've got episodes, but we're not doing episodes anymore because we're recording them ahead of time. So we're all getting confused with what numbers we're at. Joe, as of recording, I had to look then. It's the 2nd of December. What advent calendar did you get? Because I know you've got an advent calendar because you're a greedy pig.
I decided that the Reese's Pieces ones were too small, so I'm just buying a pack a day instead.
I got to say, I was like, I might get an advent calendar because I do like to have a little piece of chocolate on the evening. And then I was like, Dairy Milk was £5. Why don't I just buy two bars of chocolate for like
£5 worth of Dairy Milk?
Yeah, and eat more. So I didn't end up getting one.
Good.
Cool story, James. Cool story.
Yeah, good one.
It is 2nd December. It's Christmas. Don't want to shout too loud into the microphone. But we're going to share with you some of the tactics, tips that we use with our clients throughout the Consistent Christmas Plan. So the whole aim of Consistent Christmas for us is to shift people's expectations. Don't want to jump ahead to the mindset because we're just going to talk about nutrition today. Into looking at maintaining their weight or minimizing the normal weight that they gain. And I think that's why it's such an attractive offer, because it's not getting people to push on with fat loss. It's not an idea of restriction. It's an idea of control and, I suppose, prioritizing.
That and makes enjoyment, sense. And enjoyment as well, I think, about making sure that you know, if gaining 7 pounds over Christmas is the right decision for you, then by all means do that. But it's about assessing those decisions and making sure that they're all mindful and it's not eating food because it's there. It's not eating food because you feel like you have to. It's not almost disordered, unhealthy patterns, which I think in my experience of this stuff, a lot of Christmas eating is. And there's changes that you can make that mean that you can then have better physical results and probably more pleasure from the food, certainly less negative, you know, fewer hangovers, fewer feelings of bloat or feelings of excess, you know, or the upset stomach that you get from eating too much refined or processed food. So it's about trying to manage those pieces so that you can have everything. You can have the food and drink that you want without feeling like you're missing out. You know, it's not turkey and Brussels sprouts. It's finding that happy middle ground, which is what Sustain is about 365 days a year, but even more so in December, and probably more around being mindful about the enjoyment and maintaining instead of losing. Most of the people we're working with are trying to lose weight, but it's an unrealistic expectation. And again, we'll cover that kind of in the mindset episode. So it's about how can you adjust your food? What are the things you need to prioritize in order to get the most from the Christmas period?
Yeah, it's about staying in control and indulging without overindulging. Like you said, you know, we want to get clients to the end of December without any regret, but without feeling that they were massively restricted, without feeling any guilt around the food choices that they chose to have. And like either, you know, some people still manage to lose weight because they're just more mindful of their food choices whilst, you know, not feeling restricted. And it sounds like an amazing thing, but so much of the struggle that we see is surrounded by guilt within food choices, false beliefs around food choice. And again, jumping ahead to the mindset episode. But when we remove that, then you've just got that freedom and control that everyone should really desire, that everyone really, really wants. You know, instead of this going into December, just going, well, you know, with that old mindset of like, well, it's December, I always gain weight, I have to gain weight. Well, let's challenge that and let's see. You know, again, we are what we repeatedly do, not what we occasionally do. I really enjoy saying. So if we shift our expectations this month and go, right, I'm looking to maintain, and again, we'll cover this over the next coming podcasts, is let me prioritize what's important, because sitting at home eating 5 mince pies and a pack of mint matchmakers, old school, watching I'm a Celeb, it's probably not adding that much value to your life. Going out for your Christmas meal with your workmates and getting hammered actually is, you know, that's a part of the experience, and we want you to go and enjoy that. But if you're having, like, you know, 1,000 extra calories every single day, that's going to add up, and you're going to gain that 7 to 10 pounds that you always gain, and then you're going to waste January, February trying to burn it off.
Mm.
Or not, you know. I know some of the feedback we got was someone said, like, they it usually took them till October the following year to burn off the way that they gained that December, I can't speak, that December, and then it's time to do it all again. So it's just about getting our clients in the best place possible to kick off the new year. But again, without that, right, I have to be massively restricted over Christmas. No, go enjoy what you want to enjoy, but have that control and have that freedom. So how do we do that, Joe?
Where do we start? Number one, first tactic would be to schedule high-calorie food in. And this is the same as we'd recommend people to do 365 days a year or 52 weeks a year. But it's even more important over Christmas, because there's going to be more temptation, more occasions. It's more socially acceptable for people to eat and more social pressure to do that. And so recognizing what are the times over the next 7 days or the next 28 days that are most important for you to have high calorie food. When is it going to add the most to your life? You know, say you've got 3 meals out in a week. Which one of those are you going to enjoy the most? And that might depend on the people you're with. That might depend on the location that you're going to. But odds on, if you're going out to eat 3-4 times a week, there'll be at least one or two of those when you could make a lower calorie choice and your life wouldn't suffer for it. You would very, very unlikely get to the start of January and be like, do you know what? The week of the 9th of December, I really wish all 4 meals out I had been high calorie. I would imagine most people would look back on that and go, do you know what? That was a more restrained, more controlled week than I would normally have. And I feel better for that. And it's about recognizing those pieces and challenging yourself when you have those thoughts of, oh, I just want to eat whatever I want. Is that an impulse or is that a genuine belief that you have longer term? Because people so often flip between these two things of, oh, I'm not that bothered. I've only got one life, you know, YOLO, eat whatever I want. And then going, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And so planning this ahead of time when you're in a more neutral place mentally, you've not got the menu in front of you and other people ordering and all that are people pressuring you. It's so much easier if you can make those decisions ahead of time. And so deciding and then assessing afterwards, you know, you make those decisions, you do the best that you can, and afterwards you look back on it. If you don't do either of those things, if you don't schedule the high calorie food, you don't reflect on it, then you're going to struggle to do anything better. And you can look at last Christmas, you can look at how your life normally goes. And if I go out for 3 meals in a week, which would be rare, I wouldn't need to have all of those being whatever I'd wanted. One or two of them would be plenty, would be sufficient. Probably only need one, to be honest. And so it's just about finding what works for you. That's just my personal opinion. So it's planning ahead of time, making decisions, and then it's no guarantee that you'll stick to them, but you have a much better chance of doing it if you've made those decisions ahead of time.
Yeah, the reason why we're big fans of meal planning and, you know, scheduling high-calorie foods is, like Joe said, when you plan a meal, when you make that decision of, you know, maybe you have a look at the menu and you decide beforehand, right, this is what I'm going to have, you're in a good place. You're not tired. You're not hungry. You're not stressed. Maybe you've not had a couple of drinks already. You know, all these things that are going to lower your inhibitions and your ability to make sensible choices. So you're making it from a good place. And again, if I go back to just normal food planning, when you sit down on a Sunday afternoon, you plan your meals, like I said, you're not choosing a meal out of an emotional response. You're not choosing a meal out of hunger. You're going, I'm going to have salmon and mash and tenders and broccoli. It's not because you've had a crap day and you go like, oh, you know what? Just get some pizzas. Like, the food's there and the food's ready. So having this kind of foresight to look at these meals and, like, as Joe said, you know, prioritize these things, question it. Do I really need to have, you know, 2,000 calories in this meal to have a good night? And there'll be times when you want to do that, and that's okay. But it's not always the case. And, you know, you can look at your food choices around that, and then, you know, the scheduling the high calorie treats. again, it's not to make like a perfect approach, but it's to have some kind of control over these things. So instead of you just sitting down, I'll use mince pies again because they're very seasonal, and just smashing through three mince pies, three mince pies,
you know,
6 days a week, you go, all right, I'm going to allow myself, I was speaking to a client the other day, like, I'm going to allow myself one box per week. And that's it. Once those six have gone, and I'm done, and I'm out. You know, and it makes you more mindful. It makes you enjoy those choices more because you're savoring them instead of just going, well, a serving for me is three. And then you go through three boxes of mince pies per week.
So that ties into, we both covered it by accident. Number two would be prioritize the occasions and decide when it's going to be most worthwhile to you. And then sticking to those things is, I'm just going to tweak a little bit what you said there. You know, if you said something along the lines of doing these things when you want to, and ultimately in the moment, you're always going to want to eat higher calorie food. You know, whatever your vice is probably going to be more tempting than having the salmon, mash and veg. And so it's about kind of putting those imprints in the snow ahead of time. So you then got that path to follow. And if you've put that meal plan down, if you've made some decisions, it's then so much easier for you to do that. And if you can look at those different events and say, well, do you know what? I'm going out with, good example, I went out with the in-laws last Sunday and I said, I'm just going to have a low calorie meal. I'm going to choose the lowest calorie pieces on there. And I ended up having something like chicken and peppers with some rice and a side of salad and side of veg. And we shared that stuff. Did I love that meal in the moment? No. Was it what I wanted? No. But it was the right decision for me in that moment because there's other occasions coming up. For example, I'm going away this weekend where I want to be able to have more high calorie food there. So it's that series of trade-offs. And it's about kind of recognizing that and choosing the things that are the most worthwhile. And in the moment, it wasn't what I wanted, but I look back at it now and it's the right decision. And so easy to do that and to just endlessly go with, well, I want this, I want this, I want this. But it's that delayed gratification piece. You can't always, you know, be careful what you wish for, because you can't always have what you want and have the, you know, you can't have it short term and long term. And the more of those pieces that you give yourself in the short term, the more that's going to impact your longer term results. And so it's not about having none, but it's just about prioritizing those occasions that really are the most important ones for you.
And I'd say, you know, being sensible around them, you know, like you said there with your choice, you went for a calorie control one. You know, if you're going to go for one of those high calorie days, then maybe you could pull back a little bit on some of those other meals. And I appreciate this is people like, oh, well, you know, that's restrictive or maybe not disordered eating. Like it's not, it's just being sensible. Like for you, again, you know, just as you said, if you're going away this weekend, you're going somewhere extravagant, Joe. The odds are in the weeks leading up to that, you might pull in your finances a little bit. And Chris, you might be like, should we get a takeaway or should we go out for a meal? And you'd be like, oh, no, you know, we're going away for the weekend. So let's just save our money for that. And it's a similar thing with food, but people get a bee in the bonnet like, no, you should be doing this. And I'm not saying skip meals or just eat fat-free cottage cheese. But if you have, you know, some higher calorie foods that you normally have in, you know, again, if you've got like a quarter of mince pies or whatever, maybe pull those back and just go, well, oh, you know, you plan to have a glass of wine tonight or whatever, but then you've gone out on a massive bender on the Friday. Maybe just go like, you know what, I'm not going to drink my wine for the next couple of days because I'm going to get trolleyed on Friday. It's just a bit of a trade-off and it's just being sensible with, you know, air quotes, a budget. I don't know why I do air quotes on a podcast. It's for your benefit. again, and that comes down to the prioritizing as well. But what we want to shift away is, I know you've written it down in the notes, like this idea of a blowout.
Mm.
Well, I'm going out for a meal tonight. It's going to be high calories. There's nothing else I can do. So I'm just going to have Pringles for my lunch. Don't do that. And again, I know that falls into one of the other things about like still hit your basics, but we're going to move on to that. But it's just going with that mindset. Like you are an adult. And no matter what diet you're following, whether you're being coached by us or you're following Weight Watchers, Slimming World, whatever, you can choose as an adult to get off that diet for an evening, for a day, if you want, for a weekend. You're a grown-up. No one's going to come and take away your kids. No one's going to come and kick you in the chops. You just go, I'm going to have pizza tonight for my dinner. a Christmas pizza, and that's okay. And then my breakfast, I'll get back and I'll have my overnight oats. Then for lunch, I'll have what's planned. Then for my dinner, I'll have my salmon and mash and tenders and broccoli. It's okay to go, yeah, I'm having a meal out, I'm good. We're going to go to this great pizza place. I like pizza. You know, as an adult, and again, when you realize that, that's very empowering. I know for a lot of clients that I've worked with, like, oh, that just makes so much sense. Like, you're an adult. You can choose to get on and get off again. It's not like you get off the ride and that's it. The train's gone.
Well, someone would say, yeah, I fell off track. It's like, you didn't fall off track. You chose to get off. Yeah. You could choose to get back on. I think you've touched on, we'll go with the next one with cheat days or cheat meals. And I think so often with Christmas, because you have Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, it's very easy for people to write off days, more so at this time of year than any other, with people so many people being off simultaneously. And I would always just challenge, I'm always hesitating with this stuff because I think it goes against traditional wisdom. I just challenge the need for a cheat day of like, do you, let's say, so my perfect cheat day in my head, if I was to make it up now, is I would have full English for breakfast. I'd have fish and chips for lunch. I'd have a curry in the evening, all the trimmings and all of those things. I'd have some chocolate and some crisps in between. And I'd have a few drinks, might have a few cocktails, might have a few ciders. Now, all of that is based off how I feel right now. But that is over the course of probably a 14-hour period. And actually, once I get halfway through that day, I am going to be enjoying that food a whole lot less. And now a lot of people say, oh, well, I wouldn't. I'd enjoy every bite. That's not how it works biologically. The receptors on your tongue that communicate to your brain fatigue really quickly. And so the first bite is always going to be more enjoyable than the last. And so you just aren't going to get as much from a full day. Say you have three meals in a day plus the snacks, you'll be able to get more pleasure if you spread those foods out over 3 days, and therefore it's spread out over, you know, 300% longer. And so actually you'll take in fewer calories over the course of a week than if you have multiple cheat days in close succession. And I think people know that, but they get lost in the moment and they then struggle with that. And it ties into the point made before about planning ahead of time. And in fact, the example you gave was spot on, because I'd said I wanted to lose a certain amount by the start of December. Didn't quite manage it, but lost quite a bit. And then we said, oh, we'll go out for a meal to celebrate. Like, actually, no, we're going away this weekend. So we'll taper it back. And by having that planning in place, by prioritizing ahead of time, by not having days and having meals, it means that you're taking fewer calories and you'll get better results. But without massive sacrifices, you know, I just don't think, my personal opinion, you need to have three meals and two snacks off on a day in order to enjoy it. You know, the example I gave there, you could easily clear 5,000-6,000 calories, easily, possibly more, you know, and at the moment my average is 2.5 a day. So I don't need to have 3 days worth of food in one, when actually I could just have a meal and be just outside of my calorie needs. You know, it's about kind of weighing those things up and adjusting accordingly.
And if you do feel the need, like, oh, I need a treat day, I'd question that. And I think even for us with our clients, we just say, like, you know, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, do whatever you want to do. It's totally up to you. But, you know, the coach in me would still question some of those behaviors, because it is, and it's very almost traditional, isn't it? Christmas morning, you have chocolate for breakfast, you have this, you have like an indulgent, maybe like a fry up or something like that. And then maybe you have something else. And then you have your Christmas dinner, which is probably the most amount of veg that some of our clients eat ever. People panic about it. You've got lean protein, loads of veg. Anyway, and then maybe later it's like pork pies and cheese boards and all this stuff. So again, if you look at the priority there, like, is having a really high calorie breakfast adding anything to your Christmas, to your experience? And again, only you can answer this. And for me, while you were talking, I was thinking back, like, okay, what do I remember about last Christmas? What did I have for breakfast? I have no idea. Absolutely no idea. I could have had mince pie in oats. I could have had croissants. I don't know. I remember my Christmas dinner. I remember us all sitting around and having a lovely time. That added to my memories. So then again, you know, you just got to question these things, because, like you said about your treat day, we're very good at looking at the pleasure right there and then. But once it's done, it's gone, hasn't it? You know, like I have no memory of what I had for breakfast last year. I have no memory for what I had for breakfast probably last week. But that's just my age. Because, and again, you know, I understand people like, oh, every meal wants to be delicious. It doesn't. Every meal needs to serve a purpose. And sometimes that purpose is going to be pleasure. But, you know, like as I said right at the top of the podcast, you know, we are what we repeatedly do. And you want to have those high-calorie meals occasionally. And again, it's whether they're adding to the experience. If you feel the need to have a cheat day, a full day, like that's going to like be, it was the best day ever. I woke up and I had chocolate and then I had a crisp sandwich and then I had a chippy tea. I'd question whether that's actually true or not, because then all of a sudden I've gone from having, you know, really high calorie breakfast, really high calorie snacks, whatever, to like probably high calorie dinner, to all of a sudden reducing that by 50% by just going, I could just have porridge for breakfast and, you know, a high protein yogurt.
And this isn't to make us sound holier than thou, because when I'm like,
boring.
Yeah, but when I've reeled that off, that perfect day for me, you know, it's lunchtime, we're recording at now, and I'm thinking, God, I'd love to eat that stuff. But I've had days like that, you know, and they aren't as good as I'm imagining. And I think that's the problem that we all have, is that our thoughts around these things are so much are discounting the negatives, are only focusing on the positive side of things. So I can think about how nice all those foods are, then I don't think about the cumulative effect of that. And actually, if I had my normal breakfast of oats, berries, and whey, and then I had, you know, fish and chips for lunch, and then I had, you know, a steak and some salad for tea, that would be more pleasurable in regards to the total situation. So I wouldn't have the same peaks from the meals, but I would have the feelings of contentment that I'd made the right decision. I wouldn't have the feelings of bloat. I'd feel better the next day. I'd spend less money. I'd gain less weight. And all those things have to be taken into the equation. Otherwise, you're just covering your ears and your eyes and seeing what you want to see. And again, like James said, that's your call. If you want to do that, that's absolutely fine. But you're probably listening to this because you're looking for ways to improve over Christmas. And so if nothing changes, nothing changes. And you have to find these small pieces to adjust. That probably moves us nicely into the next bit about where to save calories, about trying not to have a blowout and having some normal meals, incorporating veg and incorporating water. You know, something so simple I said there about having my oats, berries, my whey protein, a bit of carrot, it's something like 350 calories. And so suddenly, compared to a full English, now you're looking at saving, what, 800 calories? I can then spend them elsewhere. And it's those small, it's not even a sacrifice. That's the meal that I eat probably 330 days a year. So for me to not have it on Christmas Day just doesn't matter. You know, my life is so much better for making those decisions consistently. And I think for all of our clients, it would be the same. If they could get that level of consistency, even on those higher calorie days, their lives would benefit from it.
I understand, because like Joe said, we're not robots, we're human. This desire to be like, I really want this delicious, high calorie, high fat, high carb meal. But when you look beyond it, like I said, that's very much short-term pleasure. If you look beyond that and just go like, because once you've eaten a meal, the fact is that's it, it's over and done with. And this is not a battle, but this is something that really often comes up with clients when they just go like, I just didn't fancy the meal that I'd got planned. So I had, and it is never followed by something of equal calories. You know what I mean? It's always like a Big Mac meal or something like that. And you just ask that question, like, what do you think would have happened if you'd have just eaten that meal that you didn't want? Like, would you have been dry heaving? Would you have been gagging? No, you just eating it. And then afterwards you've been like, yeah, that one's too bad. Now I'm not hungry anymore. Now I've got no desire for the Big Mac meal. So it's that idea, like every meal has to be super, super pleasurable. Like I said, it doesn't. They all serve a purpose, whether that's pleasure or not. It's just like sometimes you just go eat that meal. And again, I always like to bring a comparison. It's like every day you don't want to go to work, but you still do it. You still get up. You know, if everyone just worked when they fancied working, it'd look very different, wouldn't it? People's lives would be very, very different. And not saying, again, that you have to turn into a robot, but sometimes it's like, just eat your meal. Just eat it. And you know, concentrate on hints of protein, concentrate on hints of fiber, drink your water, make sure it's calorie controlled, go about your business. That's it. Because 5 minutes after you've eaten that meal, you will not regret eating it. You will be like, oh my God, I can't believe I ate that. Disgusting. You'll probably be glad. Go on.
I'm going to have to give you my quote that I read you before. He may not have listened to this earlier, but successful men and women are influenced by the desire for pleasing results. Failures are influenced by the desire for pleasing methods and are inclined to be satisfied with such results that can be obtained by doing the things they like to do. And it's by, you've got to be motivated by the end result. And that's, you know, when it comes to nutrition, long-term health, fat loss, happiness, body confidence, all those things, you have to have a strong enough why to want to do it. And otherwise people are just so focused on the process. And that obsession about enjoying every meal is when people are focused on the process, but then they're still here, that, you know, they're unhappy. You can't be unhappy with the results and not be willing to change the process. And that's so often what you see when it comes to nutrition in general, but especially around Christmas, if people are like, well, I want to have my full English and then my curry and then my roast dinner and all those chocolate pieces. Like, and that's fine, but then you've got to be happy with the results that that brings. You can't have the method and the process without the end results. And so it's just making the small sacrifices. You don't have to make everything a sacrifice. You know, there's still pleasures that you can enjoy without banging your weight. You know, our consistent Christmas shows that. Everybody recommending it, everybody saying they're happy with their results. The average weight loss being one, or the average weight change being 1 pound. 20% of people losing 4 pounds or more, no one gaining more than 4 pounds, which is most likely going to be some water weight anyway, you know, at least one or two of those pounds. And so you can have those end results if you are willing to adjust the process.
Yeah, but just that shift in mindset and again, asking yourself, is that really true, what you're thinking? Is that going to make your day so much better? And again, I don't want to come across like we're being like super restrictive coaches. We're not. There's going to be times where that does add, but it doesn't have to be the whole thing. The big thing is like, not will you feel guilty, because I don't want to put shame onto this, but like, are you going to be happy with that decision when your head hits the pillow? Are you going to be happy with that decision in January? And that's not to say don't go out, don't enjoy yourself, you know, don't, because that's not what consistent Christmas is about. That's not what sustained is about. Sustained is about you being happy with the choices that you're making and standing by them and not going, I've done it again. I went and did it again. And there will be times where you do it again, but we've just got to learn from those and adjust. And again, we want to make those as few and as far between as possible.
Cool. Last one then. We kind of covered it a little bit, but we'll keep going. Prioritize nutrient-dense foods.
Yes. Even when you're out, I'd say, where possible. A slight caveat on this one. I went on a bit of not a rant with a client's feedback. We know that protein and high fiber foods, probably more so vegetables if you're eating a meal out, are really, really filling. So they're going to help you, prevent you from over consuming foods. You know, if you have a 400 gram steak, you're going to struggle to get through that sucker because it is so nutrient dense. Now there's a lot of calories that will come along with that, depending on the cut. But if you go out and you go, right, I'm going to have a meal, and you go, I'm going to make sure that it contains, and it's going to be a high calorie meal, but I'm going to make sure it contains protein and vegetables, you're going to be pretty full and you're going to be less likely to overconsume other foods around that or later in that day as well. So definitely through all your meals, as we would do normally with any of our clients, but even on a night out, I would still try to process it. Again, where possible, I suppose a caveat would be pizza. It's quite hard to hit protein and vegetables with pizza, even though, you know, people like, I've ordered extra pepperoni to get the protein. please don't ever do that ever again. And then, yeah, I mean, I won't go into the caveats this time, but there's a few situations where I wouldn't suggest getting extra veg. But one of my clients, okay, I'll do it, was going like, we're going out for a meal, we're going out for fish and chips, but I don't know what to do for veg. Just, I won't worry about it. Like, don't feel you have to get a side of mushy peas. And the only time this can fall down is when I've seen people go for maybe like Chinese or Thai food. They've ordered the dish and then they've ordered like a side of stir-fried greens or something like that. So it's like, I really appreciate what you're doing there because you're trying to get a ton of fiber in, but you've probably added another 300-400 calories to your meal because you've got some stir-fried you know, swimming in oil veg. But again, solid effort. But that's my slight caveat.
There's going to be times when that might be the right call. If that's going to stop you getting a dessert,
yeah,
go for it. If you can get veg earlier on in the day that you can control, then that's probably going to make more sense. It's just about weighing up all these things. And I think it's very easy to get bundled up in that and to go, well, James said don't get veg at a restaurant. Like, well, that's not exactly what he said. Is that if you go out and you can get a side salad, then that's something you control a bit more and say, could you put the oil on the side? Suddenly you've then got a really nutrient-dense, high-volume side dish. And it's just about constantly having that flexibility and that ability to adapt. And I think when we work with people, so often people are looking for hard and fast guidelines for us to tell you what to do. And actually, that's not our job. Our job is to upskill you to the place where you can make that decision, because there's just a million and one different variations, if not more, over the course of your lifetime, where you need to be upskilled and able to make these decisions. And so, you know, with all this stuff that we're talking about, this is either our opinions or what we think are the best ways for you to get the results that we think that you want. But only you can make those decisions. These are just how the things that we've seen people struggle with, the easiest adaptations that they could get to get where they want to be. You know, and going out and when you have your Christmas dinner, making sure that you have a good amount of veg in it. You know, it's interesting you use that example. For last Christmas when we were in Canada, we went out and got a big Christmas dinner. It was on a big platter thing. And that was it. I would prioritize eating some of the veg. You know, it's not rocket science. I just had to make sure that I ate some of the Brussels sprouts, some of the cabbage, some of the carrots. And I didn't just eat potatoes and meat and Yorkshire puddings, which I could have happily done. And it's those tiny sacrifices. Like, did I enjoy that meal less for having those things? No. The food was a fraction of a percent of that day. You know, it was the experience and the location and the people. And yeah, the food was nice, but it's making sure we keep these things in perspective sometimes, that the food is not the focal point. I get that our culture doesn't always show that. You put any advert on TV at the moment and you could be forgiven for thinking it was just people eating at home on their own and that being the main point of this whole process. But it's not the case. And so it's about recognizing that. And yeah, go on, I'll treat myself. So many people, when you hear them talk, you'd think that food was the only thing that made them happy. And I think being really clear, and we'll cover this in the mindset episode. God, the mindset episode is going to be a busy one. Of what are the things that make you happy? What gives you pleasure? Where, you know, are you getting pleasure from? Because if food is the only answer, then you've got a real issue. Then we need to be working on that as much as anything, about how can you get more pleasure in your life? Because if food is the only way you're going to do it, you're always going to struggle to manage your weight, because the only way you've got of boosting your mood is by taking on calories. And so it's quite a precarious place to be. And I think that it's something to certainly consider as you know, if you've got more time off, how are you going to manage that? If you haven't got your hands busy, or even if you do, what are the things that you can do that you enjoy that bring you that sense of contentment? It's going to make you need food less.
Good.
All good.
Sum up, Joe, sum up.
So, check my notes. Top points to work on when it comes to managing your food over the Christmas period: scheduling in high calorie foods, to prioritize the occasions that mean the most to you, set weekly limits rather than daily limits if you prefer, look for ways to save calories, question whether you need a treat day, whether a meal would suffice, and to prioritize nutrient dense foods.
There you go. I appreciate we've mentioned a lot about mindset, which we'll go on to. But all of it, you know, it all overlaps and it all falls into place with each other. You know, your mindset, your thoughts will drive your decisions. So it's all comes into one. But ask yourself better questions: is this really going to add anything to this experience or not? Sometimes it will. Majority of times, it probably doesn't, and that's probably why you're listening to this podcast. Good.
Happy.
Join us. Part two next week. Well, it depends when you listen to this.
But probably have to do the mindset one next.
Definitely do the mindset one, right? Right, thanks for listening. Appreciate it.